Feel Live, made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Hey, what's up? This is Craig David, and I'm right here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM.
With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can have you reach thousands of local people.
1212, how's it going? This is Shlomo. You're listening to Shlomo.
Get your campaign on Sheffield Live.
Sheffield Live.
To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffield.com.
Yeah, Wagwan. Sweet talking sport. You know, Friday the 12th of December, this day will never ever come again. Straight to the point, chat show that deals with the latest sports news and stories, both interviews and join an audience that fit today's modern day society, devoted entirely to sport and discussion events, whether it's here, whether it's international, you know. A good to go on air expansive debate by myself and the man called CV, right? Yes, so what, go on?
Yeah, yeah, good evening, yeah. Yeah, everything's nice and cool, phenomenal, you know what I mean? But, you know, let's see how the show roll.
Yeah. What's been happening? Anything?
Why? You know what? On the football side, you know, everything's been nice. You know, I've watched my team a couple of the last three game them. We did play Leeds at home and struggled and went 2-0 up and struggled against them to hold on. In the ending, we just got the win in the ending and won 3-2. Then I watched a ridiculous game against Fulham where we was 5-1 up. You can't be 5-1 up and then hanging on for dear life to win the game 5-4, right? But again, we got the 3 points. And then we played Sunderland. And we were like a different team. Well, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that's what it's about, isn't it? That's so without further ado, nobody's listening. But if you are, I want you to promise me this.
Weird, yeah. Oh, yeah, come discotheque now.
Yeah, Sheffield Massive, that you will never leave, sweet. You know, talking sport.
Are you
what
that?
What's up, everybody?
Go on, operator.
Hey. Absolutely, promise we say you'd never leave the shore, you know. Listen, right, I want to talk about this something before, you know, the Battle of the Sexes, which is taking place with Sabalenka and Kyrgios. It's happening on, I'm sure it's the 12th. It's not this evening, sorry. 28th, yeah. Get my bearings on this one, yeah. 28th in Dubai. Now, a lot of people are just saying, well, it's just a normal kind of like exhibition match, really. But what I've discovered is that, you know, when Billie Jean King played, when she played her Battle of the Sexes, everything was kind of like all in. But this one, they've kind of like made a few kind of like
adjustments.
Adjustments, allowances and stuff. And that's why I think most, not really kind of like taking it that kind of serious. But this is what kind of like Sabalenka had to say.
ATP World,
you know, like keep saying like, I'm just like let your racket talk. I think I'm not putting myself in any risk. We're there to have fun, to bring great tennis. Whoever wins, wins. And I think I'm not damaging this fight for equal prize money and for bringing women's sport on another level. I think we're already like kind of like in the way, and I think this event is going to only help to bring women's tennis on a higher level, because it's not going to be an easy match for him, and I'm just going to be there competing and showing that women's are strong and powerful and actually very entertainment to watch. So I think in this event I'm only going to help, right?
Yeah. When I made comments when I was young, 20s, you know, I'm 30 now, and like some of my behavior on the court hasn't been, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say I've been an amazing role model, but as I've grown and, you know, I'm definitely more mature now, and I would say that, you know, out of on the ATP tour, I've helped out so many of the WTA players, you know, that I'm not going to really mention names because I don't want to even bring them into, you know, any articles or any headlines, but any time they've reached out, you know, for a practice or any advice, you know, I'll be the first to put my hand up and help them, because they know that I've been thrown into a whirlwind of things that not many people could really handle. You know, I look back at some of the things that I've gone through over the last 10 years, and how I've responded and where I am now is actually pretty impressive. I guess now, if they did know me behind closed doors or and understood how much I've learned, they would share that probably same opinion that, you know, I'm also not perfect at all, but at the same time.
So the exhibition match, you know, is on the 28th of December in Dubai. But I think what's kind of interesting, I mean, nobody's saying how much they're actually getting paid for this. And the guy behind it, the agent who manages them both, is being tight-lipped also as well. But me personally, I think this is just a bit of Xmas fun, really. You know, like I said, the prize money is not being disclosed. Basically, in tennis tournaments, they're normally transparent, but not this one. You know, however, is this a, you know, on this occasion, the agent, like I said, for Shabalenka and Kyrgios, stated they're not discussing anything about the economics.
Oh.
No, nothing about the donnies. You know?
So they don't really want to talk about the money then?
Yeah, they're kind of like all being tight-lipped.
All they're doing is trying to big up this, like, the challenge between the man and woman.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's basically what they're pitching, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Right? But really, we know, so there's some little money's under there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, and with the way it's going, like, you know, so I know little money.
Oh, it'd be some big bucks, innit? In this one, yeah, it'd be kind of like massive, you know. Like I said, some people, in fact, most people, I'd say, probably like a little bit of harmless fun entertainment after Christmas. I think it's interesting that the date when it's at, obviously, you know, festive time and all that kind of thing going on. You know, Shabalenka added that, obviously. The man is biological stronger. Yeah, I mean, we kind of discussed that in a previous show about, you know, the makeup of the two of them having, you know, testosterone levels and stuff. But I think they've made adjustment to the court. So that's kind of like, you know, the adjustments there when Billie Jean played many moons ago. She was just saying that they just took it, played the game how it was, and the best person win.
Did she win her?
I think she did win the game. I can't remember what kind of like year that was, but it was some time ago. Shabalenka, 27, has been one of the outstanding players for the WTA tour over the past seasons. You know, another marvellous season, what she's just had in you know, September just gone, US Open, while Kyrgios, 30, played only 5 professional matches. I think that tells you something. He's only played 5 professional matches this year, but all of a sudden, you know, he's kind of been kind of, you know, put in on the court against the woman's number one. I think Kyrgios is ranked about, you know, 672. in the world. You know, I think Kuros, he's kind of like, he was runner-up in Wimbledon back in 22. So that's how long ago he was on the scene at his kind of like, you know, his levels, really. While you've got Shabalenka, obviously the woman's number one at 27 also as well. You know, it's kind of like one of them kind of stories, isn't it? And I think it spoils the sport. I think, you know, Joe Public's got a right to know how much money and that, you know, through TV appearance and all the rest of it. So they make a fair bit. I just think that whenever something's a bit hush-hush behind the scenes, it's like, you know, you can tell that there's something, some kind
there's
of dealings
in it. Yeah, definitely going something, on. Yeah.
Yeah, behind the scene. And I just think that's a bit of a shame, really. 18-11 Sweet Talking Sport on the 12th of December. If this is your first time, you've rocked up. Hope you're going to, you know, enjoy the show. A message to G out there. You know, get yourself, you know.
Yeah.
Get yourself in order. You know, we want to see you down here again.
That's
you know?
Right. Make sure everything is under control.
That's right. You know. Are you one for the horses? Do you have it? Have you ever had a bet on the horses?
Only when it was like that Grand National. Grand National. Something. I don't really check for horse racing.
Don't you really bother with it?
No.
Every so often, I'll have a little. I won't even say it's a little flutter. It's just a bit of fun. You know what I mean? In-house entertainment, you could say. But there's something brewing. And this is for next year. The Record Derby Prize. And kids go free, actually. The Epsom changes their kind of like smartening things up. The prize money. Now, this is what I mean. The prize money for Epsom next year is going up to, what, 2 mil. Making it the joint richest race in the UK is part of a series of changes. So they're saying, do you know what, we're not on business. We're going to let people know what our prize money is and stuff. And, you know, for Epsom next year as well, they're saying that the kids can go free. I think obviously they've got to be under a certain age, but, you know what, I'd go one better than that. I'd say if you buy a ticket, you know, next somebody goes free, you know, whether they're a pitney or adult or what, you know, if they want to really expose the sport and, you know, project it in a different way, then that's the way to go for me. The Jockey Club is increasing its prize money to 500,000 with 1 million going to the winner. Wow. 1 mil to the winner. Take that. Other changes for next year's derby, which will be run on the 6th of June, including the under-18s, being given free entry to the two-day meeting in efforts to encourage the new generation of fans. You know? And I think, wow, I think that's good. I mean, to big up the prize money. I think there's something big happening there. Like I said, 6th of June on Derby Day. It's known as the greatest flat race in the world. And like I said, it should be buy one, get one in free. That's what I would say. You know what I mean? You know? 2 million prize money. Britain's richest flat. And it's a race that's open to colts and fillies. Obviously the colts being males and fillies being the female, and it's a, like I said, it's a race home to 3 year old horses, but the colts, as long as they're under four, and also the fillies as well. You'd have thought again that the male arse would be out there as well, wouldn't you? You know what I mean? You know, they might run the same.
They might run
the same thing. Yeah, so you know. Yeah. It's just the ages and stuff. But what about that for the
increasing prize money.
Some big money, that.
That's massive, isn't it?
That's some big money, that.
Yeah, yeah. And it's matched the offer of the King George the VI and Queen Elizabeth stakes.
Right. Are they quite large, then?
Yeah, they're big events.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. It's a race I don't normally bet on, that one. I'm just like a one-off, you know, every year for the Grand Nash. And that's if I get to the bookies. You know what I mean? If I can be bothered. Sometimes I can't even be bothered.
I've done it through some work business, right? When they have that sweepstake.
Oh, yeah, the sweepstake.
Kind of, well, me personally, I don't business with it. I'm not really bothered about horse racing. That's the truth, that. Mm-hmm. I'm not really bothered about it at all.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If they would never get nothing from me. The bookie them not taking nothing from me, because I don't go in there at all.
Mm. Yeah, like, I mean, what I do, I just become an expert on that deer. You know what I mean? If I'm going to have a bet. So what I'll do, I'll look for a well-known trainer. So basically, it's like having somebody like Pep. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You look at the pedigree of the trainer and the jockey, and you think, right, that guy's got a name, you know what I mean, got a bit of reputation and stuff. So obviously the horse is going to be quite decent as well. So what I'm saying is that you wouldn't get Pep managing, like, you know, Accrington Stanley or something like that.
Probably,
you know what I mean? So
you won't match that up.
So each trainer, each jockey must be a good smaddy, you know what I mean, have reputation and that.
Mm.
So I'd look at that. And then I'd look at to see what the horse is like running on, whether it's the ground soft or whatever. You know what I mean?
I've heard about that.
Yeah, yeah.
It only runs on soft ground and all that. Yeah.
Definitely. So I'd do a little bit of homework and I'd spend a little bit of time, a little bit of care on it, and then think, right, you know, let's see a little bit of history. What has the horse done recently? You know what I mean? Has it been in action or inactive?
So that means you look hard then.
Yeah, only just once a year.
Okay.
I just come out and say, yeah, let me put my skills to the test.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay, so, fair enough.
Yeah. So I'm kind of liking that, you know what I mean? You know? So 6th of June next year, I mean, there's a long way to go, but it's one to kind of like get involved. And I like that one. I mean, it's saying that the kids go free, so, you know, parents and that, if have your pitney, then you can bring them with you, you know what I mean? And, you know, bust champagne bottle and watch out for the cock, you know? You know? And if you're stranded, have you build yourself a raft, you know? Easy. Hey! Hey! You know what I mean? What about Detta Headman? You know who Detta is?
Yes. I control things running at the darts world now. Woman darts world.
Yeah. You know, I big up this one, you know. I big up Detta, you know. Darts world champ Detta Headman said she was blubbering, you know, like a youth, you know, after winning the top sports dart prize, 66, you know, Detta come true, you know. And you know, she's an Essex girl, is she? Is Detta, yeah.
All right.
Defeated the top seed 4-1 to claim, you know, the WDF Women's World Championship title.
All right.
On Sunday just gone. It makes Detta a first world title, you know. And I think that's absolutely wicked, you know.
Yeah, that's good. That, yeah, because I'm gonna be truthful. You don't generally see,
you don't see many
of ethnic minorities. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Playing.
Do you know what? I can't remember seeing any. You know,
I've never really ever seen any. So you've got to say big up.
Research on that. You know what I mean?
I've got to bigger up.
100%. Must bigger up. But like, yeah, I mean, she said she's been trying that for ages, you know, but it just not really come true.
Mm-hmm.
But for Detta now, I think that's an absolutely wicked, wicked achievement, you know?
Yeah, well, I saw it on the TV, like, and I thought to myself, weird.
Mm-hmm.
When I film it, I control things around there and the control tower. Weird. Mm-hmm. And I control him harder now with them, with the darts, them. Seriously. Mm-hmm. I thought, yeah, go on. Go on. Show them what you can do.
Do you know what her nickname is?
Mm-mm. Oh, Caribbean Queen.
Yes, Aya.
Is it?
Yeah, right.
Caribbean Queen.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I forget who did sing that. Billy Ocean.
That's right.
I will see Billy Ocean sing Caribbean Queen. So she just come through there like the Caribbean Queen, innit?
And, I mean, how fitting is it to have somebody like that, you know? Grandetta, this is for you and God knows who. You know?
Yeah, the Caribbean Queen. Yeah. Lift up three dart and fling them in there, innit?
Mm-hmm.
And then now she's a world champion now. Yeah, you've got a bigger up. Wait, you're coming a third shot.
Yeah. So nice if you play it twice, if you rewind that one, you know. So Detta, this is for you, Essex girl, you know. She's been playing for, what, over 5 decades now.
Right.
And, you know, more than deserves that title, you know.
Okay.
And what a nickname to have as well. You kind of like wear that with pride, Detta.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. The Caribbean Queen. Go on, Billy. Sing out the name.
And 66 as well, you know. Yeah, it just shows, you know, never to give up, you know.
Never give up your dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Never give up your dreams, because fear dreams come true now. Lord, go on, you sing out our name now, look.
Hey, go on, Billy. She don't need no love on the run, because she's the world number one.
That's correct.
You know? So yeah, enough respect for Detta Edmund, 66 years young Essex Queen, you know. Right on it, world's number one. I mean, somebody else as well who's kind of like clocking a good time as well. I mean, this is about American Lindsey Vonn. Became the oldest skiing downhill World Cup winner at St. Moritz, which is Switzerland, maybe just on the border of Italy, I do believe. 41-year-old retired from the sports, in Feb 2019 due to her knee problem, but made her competitive return December last year. How about that, you know? So I just want another one to big up, really. And I think you just have to just like say, yeah, you've done well. So not just Detta, but Vonn is also dealing with certain things as well out there and doing very, very well. I mean, when you're thinking, you know, you've retired in 2019, and then what, 24, December 24, you decide to come back. Yeah, I mean, you know, that must take some doing, you know, to rebuild and all them kind of things.
Surely she must have been putting in some practice first before she come back, you know what I mean?
I would have thought so.
She would, for me, I would think she'd be like putting in the practice, seeing whether she's up for it, whether she could, you know, she feels she could challenge there. And obviously, she obviously thinks she can do it. So that's the reason why she's coming back.
Definitely. And this is what she had to say also as well.
It was unexpected. but I think I'm also proving a lot of people wrong and changing a lot of people's expectations about what's possible at an older age. I mean, the only reason I'm able to do this comeback is because I got a partial knee replacement. I think racing Cortina obviously was something that was a little bit of a carrot, you know, on a stick dangling in front of me, and made me more inspired to want to do this comeback. I'm really confident going into the season. You know, last year was the first year of my comeback, and it took me a while to kind of get into a rhythm. I had some things to figure out, especially with my equipment, but this summer was an amazing preparation period. I feel like I'm in great shape. I have a great team surrounding me, so I'm excited to start the competitions again. I just hope people are inspired to believe in themselves. I hope people are more inclined to pursue their own dreams than they were before.
Yeah, yeah, you know, pursue your own dreams and stuff, you know. 41, so there's definitely a lot of hope out there, isn't there, you know? You know, you got the Caribbean Queen, Detta, 66.
That's right.
World champ now,
that's
you know.
Right.
Hold it, Detta. Hold it down, you know. And then now you have, you know.
Detta. Coming like, you know, like the one time they did have one lady, we didn't know her, and her name, they didn't call her Della.
Is it?
Della, yeah.
Okay.
Come in, yeah. So we're Della there. So we're Della there.
Yeah, yeah.
Hi.
Well, can you imagine the parties and the celebrations going off in her yard?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
What going on, Della? Me, yeah. Say you world champ now.
She said, no one else. You know, see how me come in, then no one just take away everything.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Aye! Yeah, yeah, she's got to big up herself,
yeah,
didn't
yeah.
It?
It's a massive achievement, and like what you said quite rightly, so is that you don't see many kind of like people from
an ethnic background, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, she stuck it out. I mean, I think what 15 attempts, you know, over what five decades and that playing darts. And
I can imagine the hardship, the toughness that she would have had to go through, you know what I mean?
Definitely.
Because you know what I mean? Because it's a sport what's quite traditional, as you might say.
I mean, where she would have practiced, I mean, gone to the local. And
yeah,
and
that's
stuff,
what I'm
you know,
saying,
and
you know.
And they're pulling pint and, you know.
You know what I mean? You know, that's what I'm
where
saying.
Where you got that action from, you know, from Bush and all them things yeah, there, you know
them
what I mean?
Slightly, yeah, you know, yeah, could have had them. Yeah, we're not saying that's
it could
have happened.
Could go the other way, innit?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, I mean, just going back in time, imagine Detta now with the Pitney them, you know, when them... Them nah
listen.
Yeah, and yeah, come here to me.
Yeah.
That's 180. 180.
Lord,
in that them head side.
Lord,
you know?
Have mercy.
Yeah.
And it would be tree clapping now. Tree clap.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And bullseye.
Yeah.
Boof. You know? Listen to me. You know? Yeah. Don't mess with Detta, you know, because, you know. And I bet, do you know something? I bet, you know, I can remember back in them school day when they have them shooter, them pea shooter.
Oh,
where you get a biro.
Yeah.
They beat them, and you're like, boy, I bet Detta was, there's deadly.
Just panicked.
Yeah, she was deadly, man.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Lick smaddy in on them eye and all them things, and then start cry, you know? Wow, you know? So, Detta. Nobody can touch you, you know. You're a world champion, you
that's
know.
Right, that's you know? Right.
But, you know, yeah, joking aside, don't mess with Detta, you know. She's dangerous. She's a dangerous smaddy, you know. 1828, you know, December the 12th, you know, this day will never ever come again. Listen to Sweet Talking Sport. I've got CV right, yasso, you know. And, hey, African nations, you know.
Yeah, that soon start.
Is
it in a week's time or? Yeah, because I think
21st of December.
Yeah, I think
it's scheduled to start.
Yeah, I thought so. But we don't have anybody leaving out of our side for it.
I mean, I'm not sure if you've seen any groups or anything.
I haven't really, but I have watched it in the past.
Group A, you've got the holders, Morocco,
okay.
Mali, Zambia.
Is it? You know?
And Comoros are in there. Group B.
Where Algeria there?
Let me come to that. Group B, Egypt.
Oh, yeah.
South Africa.
Oh, we have got somebody going then from us. Oh, Mamamoush.
He's in
the Egyptian side with Salah.
Mm. Angola. You have Zim in there, Soto. Zim? Zimbabwe.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking who's it? Unimso. You know what I mean?
Group C, Nigeria. Tunis, which is Tunis.
Yeah.
Uganda. Wow. Every weight there, you know.
President, innit?
Group D. And this is for me. This is where, for me, somebody from this group will make the final. And I'm going for Senegal.
Yeah.
I'm going for Senegal, me. All right. Group D. And then you got Congo. You have Benny in there, Soto, and Botswana.
All right.
You know?
So, Ivory Coast.
Ivory Coast is in Group F.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Cameroon.
Gabon. Yeah.
And Mozambique.
Oh, okay. You know, so where the cod fish team there, South Africa.
South Africa, they're in Group B with Egypt.
Okay.
You know?
Oh, yeah, that sounds
Angola.
It's kind of, yeah, that could be a hard game, that.
Yeah. Will you watch any of these games? Will you take any?
I'll watch probably the Egyptian game. Because obviously there's a connection to City, isn't there? Because Omar Mamouche is going to be there, right? And I know he'll be playing up there with the boy there, the man they call King Salad. And a salad cream there, he will be there.
I mean, there's a few deadly people to look out for, you know. Victor, the Osman.
Nigerian
striker with him Batman mask.
That's right.
He's one to look out for. And also, you have another youths. With him name now. By Senegal. Yeah, looking. They're going to be looking deadly too. I think for me, you've got, obviously, the hosts always seem to be out there, but I can't see them kind of collecting. But yeah, Senegal, I think they're on a decent run right now. Yeah, you've got big tournament, 28th.
Yeah, but a lot, do you know what though? It does affect a couple of teams, you know. It will affect a couple of teams, and that's what sometimes messes them up. Yeah, and they're saying that, oh, you know, they shouldn't be doing all them kind of things. Well, I don't understand that, because you have the champions, innit? The champion, you have that. So I don't understand why there's a problem with the African nations.
Well, I mean, it's probably like the releasing of players, because they've got a deadline date. It's 15th of December.
Okay.
Unless you kind of get special permission from FIFA and obviously the continent as well. I mean, such as like Wednesday, they've got a player who they're asking who's he play for now? Oh, is Zim International?
Okay,
they're asking Zim if they can just kind of send him a deal later or something like that. You know what I mean?
But okay,
we'll come to that a little bit later. But the African Nations Cup, and I suppose it's one for, you know, managers if they're kind of like looking to strengthen their squad. It's a shop window event for them, isn't it?
I hear that.
You know what I mean?
I hear that.
They can have a look to see, you know, whether, you know, it's a defender, midfield, or out-and-out striker or whatever, or even a keeper. You know, they can, track the player and see what he's kind of like made of. And it's a decent kind of like... it's a decent tournament as well, really. But yeah, I think what I'll do is probably just check out when Senegal play a few of them kind of like games as well, you know, and see what's happening from.
Yeah, I'll probably watch. I'll probably depends on the times though. Depends on the times.
Yeah, they'll be kind of funky, won't they?
Yeah, depends on the times because obviously if you've got work and thing like, it'll be, you know.
Yeah, that's a good point. I feel like some of them times will be kind of funky as well though still, you know. Hey, there's something that I keep meaning to kind of like air really, but either ran out of time or had a different schedule. But you probably remember this one. It's what Wrighty said about Mr. Bellinger, you know what I mean, about Jude.
All right.
You know?
Okay.
And he had a few things to say, really. And I was kind of, not kind of like surprised. But let me see if I can, what you get with live things. Something, nah, run with me. It's not letting me get into this something really, which is a shame. I got it going earlier on. Here we are. We're live.
You can't control him. Obviously, coming off of the Lewis and what he's done in the World Cup, he's showing people that, you know, I'm here, I'm black, I'm proud, I'm ready to go. All that vibe is something that a certain man can't deal with.
I agree with you. A personal experience, and I've spoken about this in 2016, that Raheem Sterling...
I've heard this one, what Wright is saying.
Yeah. I've watched it on YouTube.
Yeah.
It was unfair, and it was basically not relating to football. And I remember at the time, me giving him a completely and utterly inadequate answer, and I've spoken about this publicly since, where I said, look, Raheem, it's because of your quality and who you are and what you are that they're criticising.
Is it just the quality? You missed something out there, innit?
Yeah, and he now knows that.
Of course, yeah, he knows.
The biggest names. But actually what I didn't read at the time, to be fair, what he was actually crying out and asking me for help for was around the fact that this wasn't related to his football performances, which it was with maybe yourself or with Gazza or with Bex. It was more around the colour of his skin. Everything and else. This persecution around how that if he had a car that was this and another player had a car that was this that was white, there was a difference in reporting of it. Do you think that is happening again in front of our eyes here?
You know something, I remember saying for GQ not long ago, and I said I don't think... as Englishmen, there's certain Englishmen. I'm an Englishman. I can't hide from that. Even though when I was younger, people would say, "Yeah, but you're not really English, are you?" Yeah, I'm English.
Yeah, I remember this.
I don't think they're ready for a black superstar like that. Who can
will they ever be ready?
You know, but well, they can't touch him.
Like going off.
Yeah, if they ain't ready now, will they ever be ready? I think that's the question that I'd have to pose.
Who else? It's too uppity for these people. Something that they used to say back in the day. If you're a black guy or a black man who's you know what, I put it in a football term. So everybody, they love N'Golo Kante. He's a humble black man.
Yeah, I like this part.
I'm not saying that he's an Uncle Tom or anything. Yeah. I'm saying that's how his personality is. But if you get a Pogba or a Bellingham and you get that kind of energy, that does not sit well with the people, that kind of person. So someone like Jude, for some reason, frightens these people because of his capability and the inspiration he can give. It's something that you're taught when you're, as a black man, when you're going out there, you just want to try and do the best you can and keep your head down and be, for want of a bit, a humble slave. This is where this has come, this is dragging up from that kind of energy. Because if you are outspoken black and doing that kind of, playing to that kind of level and not caring, that frightens certain people. And that's what's going to happen with you. This guy who I'm telling you about in respects of, he's obsessed with him. He's moving off of that energy. He can't look and see a black man doing what Jude's doing and think that that's not uppity. It's not uppity.
Yeah, I mean, like, Wrighty gets quite emotional, but it gets the point, doesn't it?
He does.
Fires that in about, man, I'm too uppity and all them kind of something there, you know what
well,
I mean? You know?
Yeah, and some of that to a point is right. If you're a man who will just go along with things, you're all right. That's what I tend to find. You're all right, and everything runs smooth. You're just like us. I think you may have heard that term before. That terminology. Oh, he's all right. I mean, he's just like us.
Just like we. You know.
But when you if you're someone who questions things mm-hmm. and starts to talk out, mm-hmm. then you're not like us. You then become.
He's got an attitude, this guy.
Yeah, chips.
You know what I'm saying?
The chip thing on the shoulder.
Yeah. All them something there. I mean, but you know, like, if you can remember, you know, just rolling back the clock now, you know, when you used to play football at school and stuff like that, or for a local team, and the coach, pass it, you know what I mean? And my coach is skill out, are we in it, you know? That's what you used to get sometimes, and you know, take on 1-2 and pass it.
Yeah,
you're greedy.
Yeah, yeah, you
greedy.
Would get, yeah.
I mean, do you hear that word now?
No.
When man of man is
taking
people on,
greedy.
Him.
Yeah.
You know,
I
remember them days. You know, and it's just like, I think back then, in some coaches now still have the big egos, and they want to their coaching is how they would play the game, not using any systems or anything like that, you know what I mean, or no kind of purpose, and not setting up no traps and all them something there, you know what I mean. But I just think that, you know, yeah, I mean, I love Wrighty how he goes off, you know what I mean?
He's one of my favourites, him.
Yeah, Wrighty.
He's one of my favourites.
He doesn't really hold any team back.
I like it, because he knows the runnings. He knows the running. He's a man, one of few man them, you know what I mean? So him know the runnings, right? And he says it how it is. He don't pretty it up. He says it how it is, right? And that's what I like about him. Right, and that's why some people know he's been getting some harsh reviews, hasn't he? They've been like slagging him off and all them kind of things and that. So yeah, it is for me that he's a man that you can say, yeah, you see him, he knows what he's talking about. Him,
yeah, definitely, and also keen. Keen mixes with him well, you know.
Yeah.
Water them dangerous when they're together, you know.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you can see them chuckling and, you know, having a few giggles and that here and then. I can remember one interview when Keen was chatting, and England just played, and they were doing their, you know, kind of like assessment of how England played. And it was a game. Tootle, yeah, it was one of Tootle's matches, Thomas Tootle. And I think, I mean, I didn't watch the game, but afterwards, you know, when they're doing the analysis of the game, and Keane was just saying that, you know, there was no energy in their performance, and it was just like there was in Costa. And it were like, well, what would you want? Do you want a coffee do you want milk with that, or do you want a latte? And Wrighty just went like, and you could see him just bubbling up, you know what I mean? And telling you, it was kind of you had to kind of watch that, because it was funny.
I do rate him, especially when he does his lookalike videos, them and that, and he's singing
him
a sing to the tune, them and all them something.
He's just driving along, and
I rate him.
Just
I do
pops out a tune, and that.
Just rate him. He's tops.
Mm-hmm. Okay, big match tonight in the Championship. It's United travel down to Midlands playing West Brom, 8 o'clock kickoff. I think United should have at least 3 players back from the other day. I think there was a lot of sickness and injury problems and stuff. They had made 8 changes the other night, and that performance, it did tell. When they played Norwich City, it was really kind of flat and everything, but at least they collected a point. So if you're not going to win it, you don't lose it. And I think McGuinness should be back in the side. He had a bullet of a head of deer, you know what I mean? And
was in the 4-0, innit?
Yeah. And I tell you what, they must have worked well, because it's been a time I've seen kind of United being dominant from a set play. Normally, they haven't really had them kind of characters in there to be to be brave, I would say. You know what I mean? Because they normally rely on the second ball. Can they be alive when that second ball comes? Callum should be back also as well, but I think Burrows will probably start. And Gyro, you know, in at the middle of the park. He came on a short-term loan with Bamford, and I believe them two will be hanging around till the end of the season, and then we'll see what happens from there. Ryan Mason is in the hot seat for the Baggies, and they're lying, well, it's 16th versus 17th for this one, and I think I'll take a point, me. But I like the way how Wilder has, you know, got a few kind of telling results together now. Now can they kind of like take it to another level? They'll just exchange places with West Brom if they get a win tonight. It's a tough game.
Yeah, it would, because
it's a tough game.
United go on to 26, wouldn't they?
Yeah. I'd take a point down here anyway, mm-hmm. but a win would mm-hmm. be absolutely marvellous. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You know? So I'm gonna check out that game.
I'll be tuning into that.
I think it's worth a draw, really. It's worth a draw.
Anything but lose.
Mm, that's true.
Anything but lose.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the Owls don't play till Monday. They're at home against Derby. Big game for them.
All right.
I know a Derby supporter is going to that game. And I think, I'm afraid, I can't see the Owls taking maximum points again. You know?
Okay.
It could be like saying I'm cursed, isn't it? You know? Can't win a game at home. Can't buy a game at home. And I've not won it yet, is it? I'm not won it.
They've got winner. What you call him? They've got the, is it what they call him now? Administrator, whatever it is, them who's running at the moment. Yeah, but they haven't actually got a buyer yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So they just.
Oh, in fact, I think they should have named. In fact, I think they're very close. In fact, there should have been naming the new owner, but they delayed it because I think what happened is that there was, and I mentioned this as well, you know, that if I had that kind of cash and was looking to buy a club, and it was kind of like, you know, you was a competitor as well, wanting to do the same thing, then just join forces and put your cash together. You know, there'd be in a better place going forward. Because I know they were saying that 50 mil, you had to have proof of the funds.
Yeah, I get that. You know? I get that.
But it'll take more than that, because people will say, oh, that will double. You know what I mean? Because the ground won't paint up, the pitch won't reseed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know?
Some, they want to leak out them seat, they done put in new seat, and all them something, mashed on the.
A couple of bolts won't tighten up on that stand, you know what I mean?
Yeah, put in some toilet freshener and all them something in there, you know what I mean?
No joke, you know.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it could. Yeah, like I said, coming like Sabuto. If you could just pick up one of them stand and just drop it there.
Put him in there. Yeah.
It'd be nice that. You know what I mean? Winless at home. I presume they're still going to be winless. And like I say, they've asked Zim if they can send one of them players for the African Nations Cup a little bit later. He's a promising youth, I do believe. You know, what's kind of, I think Derby are going to come with some heavy weight, you know. You know,
Derby are what?
Derby are 15th in the league, and right. Where are Wednesday? Oh, they're at the bottom, innit? minus what, 9?
Man, what man?
I must say minus man, 9. Man. Yeah, that's right. Man, minus man. 9.
I mean, that's cool climate. That's so what I mean. The minus.
The closest team to them is Norwich on 14. So right. you can tell what kind of.
Yeah.
It's a big ask.
It is a massive ask.
And the keeping their fingers and toes crossed that they don't get deducted any more points this season. That if there's any more points, I should say, they want them to get deducted this season. Mm-hmm. I think they should carry them on.
Okay.
I think they should cut off now and carry it on till next season.
When they're dropping eye first.
Yeah.
And then carry it on from there.
Just find them again, you know.
Because when me look upon Wednesday, then cooler than the fridge.
Hey,
they're cooler than fridge. -9. Why? Why all for your hand and everything? They are cool up in that -9.
Yeah. I mean, would you still go if you was this, you know, a fan of Wednesday? Would you still go? And
I suppose I'm not really the person to ask that. Really, captain is the man that you would ask.
Wait a minute.
Why me? You say my drive one double decker. No. So me here because them say, why you too good for the single, so we are chew you upon the double. So he might drive the double decker. But me, truly, your team is your team, innit? Mm-hmm. So if your team down a bottom, you're gone on a bottom. If your team gone up a top, you're gone up a top. And I've been in them place there where my team has gone down to the bottom. And we're gone in the third division and we're kicking ball against Weymouth and Chesterfield and all them kind of, and York City and all them kind of teams. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been there. And Macclesfield, that was our local derby.
Wow,
right?
Macclesfield.
So, you know, I've been there. So really, I know somebody run joke on them and all them something there, but really, really, I know what it's like.
Oh, it is.
Weird. I know Brinsley. Weird.
Go on.
You remember that? You remember? I must. I bring in it.
Yeah. You know.
Go on.
Double deckers.
Yeah, the double deckers. Yeah. One of them big double decker in my drive, you know. One of them big double decker because them tell him, say, yo, you now drive them the single again. No, you're gone in your doubles. So that's, yeah. That's what me here. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I mean, your guys, what is it? Sunday.
We've got Palace away. That's a hard game.
Very tough.
It's a hard game. It's a hard game. Every game in the Premier League is a hard game.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, I've seen an improvement.
Okay.
Right from when we started the show, I did tell you about the lead game. Then I did tell you about when them did go down at Fulham and start with some foolishness and them a win 5-1 and next minute them they're struggling to hold on. Then they play Sunderland, which everybody thought was going to be the problem, right?
Okay. Uh-huh.
And then we come through with that and really. Sunderland wasn't even a team really. We City just demolished them, and then obviously now you start hearing them talk about the Champions League now, and but we are going to Real Madrid and Madrid do this and Madrid, and I did tell a man sir, I said listen, Real Madrid is not Real Madrid no more. That is not the same Real Madrid from back in the day. I said they can be got at. And just remember the Sunday, they did get lick up 2-0 at home. I think by is it La Coruña or something? I don't know one of them team, the Spanish team there, and then broke them up 2-0. And I thought, why we've got a good chance there. And when we went there, I don't know if you did watch the game, but City wasn't the brainstorm, they just control the game. Even when we went 1-0 behind, I always knew we was going to score, right? And then when you have my man on there, you know, the magician, then call him Jerky. Ryan Jerky.
Oh,
He's dangerous. You know, see one piece of footwork where him to do when he crossed the ball over in the Sunderland game. Eh? You know, see that little piece of movement there, and Foden come in and boof, and make it 3-0. Yeah, he's looking dangerous. Him dangerous, and then my good friend there, they call him Daku.
Mm-hmm.
Him, with him look skip to my loo move them with him look, you know, them look side move them. Why? Yeah, we did look. We deserve the win. So Sunday.
I mean, Palace are no mugs. I mean,
not at all.
You know, fourth in the
listen, not at all. Not at all.
Not fourth for nothing.
Nah, they.
What kind of score do you reckon that?
I'm looking at a 2-1 down there for City again.
Away win.
I'm looking at a 2-1 down there for City. Me, that's what I'm looking at. As long as we don't lose,
I think it's got to make another draw.
As long as we don't lose, that's all I'm bothered about.
Yeah, the top end of the pitch are quite.
And then you've got handy, and then it? You've got winning call it now, because I know Arsenal's gonna get Arsenal getting a 3 points. They don't even have to turn up. They just send out for them, you know, them youth team there, them under-11s.
Who have Arsenal got this
Wolves.
Thing? Wolves, yeah.
I mean, who's only got 2 points.
They're down.
I
think they're going to be massive, them in the Championship, though, Wolves next season.
Maybe. I think maybe.
Have you heard the latest about Mikel Antonio?
No, I haven't, actually.
I'll tell you what, the Foxes.
With Leicester? Okay.
They're looking at him.
Okay.
He's been training with him. With a bit to restart his career.
Okay.
And I mean, Leicester are quite handy as well, you know.
I don't know whereabouts they are in the Championship. I don't know if they're middle table or just above
kinda,
middle.
They're kind of middle and stuff.
Okay.
I mean, when United played him the other day, wicked first half. Second half, you know, they just was the old United to get 3 up and, you know, they just deal with the counter. But sometimes, in fact, a lot of the times, I've seen that kind of backfire. But sticking with Antonio, be given a chance to restart his club career in the Championship with Leicester, a year after being involved in what was a serious, maybe...
Car crash.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, one point...
Life-threatening.
Thought, yeah, life-threatening, that's it. 35-year-old Mikel, also... you know, Reggie Boy,
yeah, the international, innit? Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And what happened? He suffered a badly broken leg with a femur snapped in 4 places after the Ferrari he was driving struck a tree in Epping Forest December last year. He has been training with the Foxes this week and is available on a free. You know, with an option for the Foxes bosses to potentially turn it into something special, maybe. You know, he's been looking good and has been a good lad. That's from the Foxes. We're just having a look at it. Seeing if, you know, obviously both parties have got to be kind of happy. I think Mikel could be... Be decent in the Championship.
Yes, I think so. I think he could do something.
Yeah. But, you know, obviously he's got to be mindful that, you know, you can get somebody what can just come in like a train and just take him out of the game.
Yes, I understand, you know? That. Yeah.
So, yeah, we wish him all the very, very best. Yeah. You know, that's Mikel. Yeah. Training with Leicester. I don't think we'll probably see him in a competitive game this season. You know, because I think they've got to build him up, you know. And I think it would be a very big ask at this moment in time if they were just to you know, get him in there. I mean, I'm not surprised it's kind of like Leicester. They've got some handy players, top end as well. So, but I mean, I think United will be going in for Choudhury come next month. Because he can play at right and also in the middle of the park also as well.
The one with no fear.
Yeah.
No fear in it. Take away all for me.
You know, he weren't too bad, you know.
I've seen him.
Bangladesh International.
Yeah, I'm sure he did play. Yeah, I'm sure he did play for Man United too. Was it Man United he played for?
I think you're right.
I'm sure he played for Man United in that shot.
No, that was Chong.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah, that were Chong.
Okay,
you know?
Okay.
You know.
The lineup come out now for the game.
Is it?
Yeah, the lineup is out. It is out and about for the Sheffield United squad. the line up. I don't know whether we should be announcing it, depend yasso.
We haven't got time, really.
All right.
You know what I mean?
Okay,
we're minutes away, you know?
Well,
sorry, seconds away, I should say.
Goodbye.
You know, I hope you've enjoyed the show, and, you know, we'll be back next week if you're lucky.
Hopefully.
You know? And be of yourself out there.
All right.